Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program of news and stories from around the world is designed for people learning English. So, we speak slowly, using a simple style and limited vocabulary. Today, we have reports from Ashley Thompson, Brian Lynn, and Alice Bryant. And we close the show with an American story. But first, deep inside an industrial neighborhood in New York City is an ordinary building containing an extraordinary treasure. It is the home of the Neustadt Tiffany Glass Archive. It holds the world's largest collection of Tiffany glass, with almost 250,000 pieces in all shapes and sizes. Stained glass has been produced for centuries. The colorful windows created during the 15th century are famous examples of the material's beauty. In the late 19th century, American artist Lewis Comfort Tiffany turned from painting to working with stained glass. He designed windows for homes and other buildings. The style became very popular. Tiffany also made other stained glass objects, including lamps. The deep, rich colored glass would shine when the lamp was lit. The lamps became a major part of the Art Nouveau period of design, between about 1890 and 1930. Tiffany became the first director of design at his father's now very famous jewelry store in New York City, Tiffany and Company. Lewis Tiffany designed several rooms in the White House and included stained glass. In 1911, he created a huge glass curtain for the main theater in Mexico City's Palace of Fine Arts. Tiffany reportedly used 1 million pieces of glass in the work. It is considered his masterpiece. Collectors Egon and Hildegard Neustadt founded the collection in 1969. The Austrians had immigrated to America with little money. During the Great Depression in the 1930s, the couple found a Tiffany lamp in a used goods store in New York City. They paid $12.50 for the flower-shaped lamp. The Neustadts began to build a collection of more than 200 Tiffany light covers, each one a different flower or bird. Later, when Tiffany's closed down its glass factory, the Neustadts bought large pieces of colored glass at the factory. Lindsay Parrott is the director of the collection.
The thing that's really important about the Neustadts Tiffany Glass Archive is that it documents this unbelievable chapter in the history of stained glass.
Tiffany's factory was in the New York City area of Queens. The building containing the Tiffany Glass Archive will open for visitors later this year. There are pieces of wavy blue glass representing water, drapery glass that looks like flowing fabric, and small glass jewels among the pieces. The Neustadt Gallery will share some of these glass treasures in a show at the Queens Museum beginning October 7th.
Russian government television has a new weekly current affairs program about President Vladimir Putin. The hour-long show, Moscow, Kremlin, Putin, launched September 2nd on Russia 1 television. Radio and television reporter Vladimir Solovyov is the host. Solovyov is a supporter of Putin and has produced several documentaries about him. Viewers of the new show saw Putin spending time outdoors, including during a recent vacation in Siberia. The Russian leader was also shown meeting with young people and visiting a group of minors on the job. The show included interviews with Putin's official spokesman and a reporter who covered the president's activities last week. Last month, Putin's public approval ratings dropped sharply after he supported a plan to raise Russia's retirement age. Strong public opposition led to protests against the measure. In the show, a long-serving lawmaker praised Putin for how he dealt with the retirement issue. The lawmaker said the president wasn't scared to take responsibility for the matter. Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov spoke about how the 65-year-old leader puts a lot of time and effort into staying physically fit. He said Putin likes to exercise for about 90 minutes each day, including swimming at least 1 kilometer whenever he can. The show included recordings of Putin's recent vacation in Russia's Tuva Republic, where he walked in the mountains with the republic's leader. Putin is also shown meeting with schoolchildren and answering their questions. Later, Peskov called Putin a very humane human. The show had many critics on Russian social media, with many describing it as pro-Putin propaganda. But speaking to reporters after the program aired, Peskov said the government did not order the program to be made. He said the television station came up with the idea and acted on its own. Peskov also said he thought the information in the show was presented in a balanced way. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to Ask a Teacher, a new program where readers ask questions and teachers answer them. Have you ever noticed that English is full of words that have similar meanings? In today's Ask a Teacher, Mika from Japan asks how to decide among three verbs that all mean give an idea about something. Here is her question.
I don't understand the difference between look, appear, and seem. If I say, his new haircut makes him appear younger, is it correct?
Hello, Mika, and thanks for your question. You can use appear in that situation, but the better verb would be look. Let me give you the reasons why. We use both the verbs look and appear to talk about a condition we have observed. In your sentence, You can see with your eyes how stylish the man's new haircut is. You also see that it gives his face a more youthful shape. But look is more informal than the verb appear. Your sentence sounded informal, as if you were talking to a friend. In contrast, you might see the word appear in writing or hear it in formal speech, such as an official news report. For example, a news reporter might say, "The suspect appeared to be fleeing the scene." As that example shows, appear is commonly used to talk about events and facts. Your third choice, seem, also means to create an idea or impression. But seem does not suggest a direct observation. For example, you and I may have talked on the phone, and you told me about your great new job and recent vacation. Afterward, I could say, "Mika seems happy, even though I never saw you smile." Keep in mind one other difference among the three words. Seem and appear are often followed by an infinitive verb, such as, "The baby seems to want her bottle," or "The man appears to be waving." But in everyday English, the verb look is often followed by an adjective. For example, "He looks tired." And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Alice Bryant.
American tennis player Serena Williams is looking to make history by winning a record 24th Grand Slam title at the U.S. Open on Saturday. Across the net will be 20-year-old Naomi Osaka. She has already made history of her own. She is the first Japanese woman to reach a Grand Slam tennis final. Osaka played Williams earlier this year in Miami, Florida. Williams was still returning to form after giving birth to her daughter last September. Osaka won the match 6-3, 6-2. At important points during that match, Osaka said she asked herself, "What would Serena do?" Then she served aces, just like her idol would. Osaka said of Williams after that match, "She's the main reason why I started playing tennis." Osaka was born in Osaka, Japan, to a Japanese mother and a Haitian father. She holds both Japanese and American citizenship, but she has chosen to compete for the Japanese Tennis Association. "I can understand way more Japanese than I can speak," Osaka told reporters at USA Today. "And when I go to Japan, people are confused. From my name, they don't expect to see a black girl." Already in her short career, Osaka has become known for defeating several top players in women's tennis. Osaka beat former U.S. Open champion Samantha Stosur of Australia in 2014, not long after becoming a professional. And in last year's U.S. Open, she defeated defending champion Angelique Kerber in the first round. On Thursday, Osaka defeated American Madison Keys to reach the U.S. Open final. Keys was runner-up in last year's U.S. Open. After her victory, Osaka was asked how she was able to play well at several critical moments in the game. She said, "This is going to sound really bad, but I was just thinking I really want to play Serena." Osaka added, "I always dreamed that I would play Serena in the final of a Grand Slam." Osaka's dream has come true. Williams easily won her semifinal match Thursday against Anastasia Sevastova of Latvia. Williams has won 23 Grand Slam titles, including 7 U.S. Open championships. She missed the 2017 U.S. Open because she gave birth to her daughter on September 1st. Williams then had to take time off from tennis because of her difficult birth experience. A win Saturday would be Williams' first Grand Slam title as a mother. It would also give her a record-tying 24 Grand Slam victories. Australia's Margaret Court currently holds the record. After her win on Thursday night, Williams said, "No matter what happens in any match, semis, finals, I just feel like I've won already." Williams' first Grand Slam title came in 1999 at the U.S. Open. At the time, Osaka was not yet 2 years old. Osaka gave a simple answer when asked what her message is to Williams ahead of Saturday's final. "I love you," Osaka said. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Here is Shep O'Neill with the American story, The Devil and Tom Walker, by Washington Irving.
Before we begin our story, let us go back 300 years to the late 1600s. In those years, one of the most famous men in the world was Captain William Kidd. Captain Kidd was a pirate. He sailed the seas, capturing any ships he found. He and his men took money from these ships. Captain Kidd hid this money in different places. Captain Kidd was captured by the English in Boston, Massachusetts, and executed in the year 1701. From that time on, people all over the world searched in many places for Captain Kidd's stolen money. The people who lived in Massachusetts in the 1700s believed Captain Kidd buried some of his treasure near Boston. Not far from Boston was a small river which ran into the Atlantic Ocean. An old story said that Captain Kidd had come up this river from the ocean. Then he buried his gold and silver and jewels under a big tree. The story said that this treasure was protected by the devil himself, who was a good friend of Captain Kidd. In the year 1727, a man named Tom Walker lived near this place. Tom Walker was not a pleasant man. He loved only one thing, money. There was only one person worse than Tom. That was his wife. She also loved money. These two were so hungry for money that they even stole things from each other. One day, Tom Walker was returning home through a dark forest. He walked slowly and carefully, so that he would not fall into a pool of mud. At last, he reached a piece of dry ground. Tom sat down on a tree that had fallen. As he rested, he dug into the earth with a stick. He knew the story that Indians had killed prisoners here as sacrifices to the devil. But this did not trouble him. The only devil Tom was afraid of was his wife. Tom's stick hit something hard. He dug it out of the earth. It was a human skull. In the skull was an Indian axe. Suddenly, Tom Walker heard an angry voice. "Don't touch that skull!" Tom looked up. He saw a giant sitting on a broken tree. Tom had never seen such a man. He wore the clothes of an Indian. His skin was almost black and covered with ashes. His eyes were big and red. His black hair stood up from his head. He carried a large axe. The giant asked, "What are you doing on my land?" But Tom Walker was not afraid. He answered, "What do you mean? This land belongs to Mr. Peabody." The strange man laughed and pointed to the tall trees. Tom saw that one of the trees had been cut by an axe. He looked more closely and saw that the name Peabody had been cut into the tree. Mr. Peabody was a man who got rich by stealing from Indians. Tom looked at the other trees. Every one had the name of some rich, important man from Massachusetts. Tom looked at the tree on which he was sitting. It also had a name cut into it, the name of Absalom Croninshield. Tom remembered that Mr. Croninshield was a very rich man. People said he got his money, as Captain Kidd did, by stealing ships. Suddenly, the giant shouted, "Croninshield is ready to be burned. I'm going to burn many trees this winter." Tom told the man that he had no right to cut Mr. Peabody's trees. The stranger laughed and said, "I have every right to cut these trees. This land belonged to me a long time before Englishmen came to Massachusetts. The Indians were here. Then you Englishmen killed the Indians. Now I show Englishmen how to buy and sell slaves, and I teach their women how to be witches." Tom Walker now knew that the giant was the devil himself. But Tom Walker was still not afraid. The giant said Captain Kidd had buried great treasures under the trees, but nobody could have them unless the giant permitted it. He said Tom could have these treasures, but Tom had to agree to give the giant what he demanded. Tom Walker loved money as much as he loved life, but he asked for time to think. Tom went home. He told his wife what had happened. She wanted Captain Kidd's treasure. She urged him to give the devil what he wanted. Tom said no. At last, Mrs. Walker decided to do what Tom refused to do. She put all her silver in a large piece of cloth and went to see the dark giant. 2 days passed. She did not return home. She was never seen again. People said later that Tom went to the place where he had met the giant. He saw his wife's cloth hanging in a tree. He was happy because he wanted to get her silver. But when he opened the cloth, there was no silver in it, only a human heart. Tom was sorry he lost the silver, but not sorry he lost his wife. He wanted to thank the giant for this. And so every day he looked for the giant. Tom finally decided that he would give the giant what he wanted in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. One night, Tom Walker met the giant and offered his soul in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. The devil now wanted more than that. He said that Tom would have to use the treasure to do the devil's work. He wanted Tom to buy a ship and bring slaves to America. As we have said, Tom Walker was a hard man who loved nothing but money. But even he could not agree to buy and sell human beings as slaves. He refused to do this. The devil then said that his second most important work was lending money. The men who did this work for the devil forced poor people who borrowed money to pay back much more than they had received. Tom said he would like this kind of work. So the devil gave him Captain Kidd's treasure. A few days later, Tom Walker was a lender of money in Boston. Everyone who needed help, and there were many who did, came to him. Tom Walker became the richest man in Boston. When people were not able to pay him, he took away their farms, their horses, and their houses. As he got older and richer, Tom began to worry. What would happen when he died? He had promised his soul to the devil. Maybe he could break that promise. Tom then became very religious. He went to church every week. He thought that if he prayed enough, he could escape from the devil. One day, Tom took the land of a man who had borrowed money. The poor man asked for more time to pay. "Please do not destroy me," he said. "You have already taken all my money." Tom got angry and started to shout, "Let the devil take me if I have taken any money from you." That was the end of Tom Walker. For just then he heard a noise. He opened the door. There was the black giant holding a black horse. The giant said, "Tom, I have come for you." He picked up Tom and put him on the horse. Then he hit the horse, which ran off, carrying Tom. Nobody ever saw Tom Walker again. A farmer said that he saw the black horse with a man on it running wildly into the forest. After Tom Walker disappeared, the government decided to take Tom's property, but there was nothing to take. All the papers which showed that Tom owned land and houses were burned to ashes. His boxes of gold and silver had nothing in them but small pieces of wood. The wood came from newly cut trees. Tom's horses died, and his house suddenly burned to ashes.
And that is our show for today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hope you can join us then. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.